you miss Canty and Carlin?
Everybody wants to be optimistic at the start of their football season, and it's completely understandable. I don't blame them one bit. The problem is, you can't be optimistic for everybody. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson is in for the honeymoon, and Chris Canty today, along with Chris Carlin. Follow us on Twitter at Chris Carlin, at Amber W Sports, by all means. Interact with us there as well during the course of the show. And it struck me this weekend, Amber, I'm doing my fantasy football draft, one of too many, and I'm looking at all these teams, and you know, I'm doing my homework, and wow, this guy's going to set up to have a big year. This team really looks better, and you go up and down the list. I'm like, wait a minute, who's going to stink? Yeah, I'm looking for the team that's truly not going to be very good, and it seems like there are times in the past where you could pick seven or eight teams where you just knew. You just knew it was going to be an absolutely awful year. And I think I could probably say that about four teams right now, maybe a fifth. But other than that, I'm really kind of wondering where the bad teams are coming from. I got the Bears. I got the Texans. Mm-hmm. I got the Falcons. I got the Carolina Panthers. Maybe Washington. Where are the awful teams coming from in this league?
Yeah, I mean, I think even Washington, you could argue, is a maybe. I think Panthers, you could argue it's a maybe now with
Baker. Know, it's,
yeah, well, it's Baker, and is McCaffrey going to be healthy? You know, so it's a maybe. I don't think it's a given. Like the Texans, even if you believe that Davis Mills exceeded expectations last season, I don't even think the Texans want to be good this season, right? I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying.
That might not be
in their game plan this season. So when we're talking about the Bears, we know that they've ripped it all the way down to the studs. Even if you think Justin Fields has shown some real sparks here in the preseason, he's got a lot to overcome this season for Chicago. So even with bright spots, you feel pretty confident, hey, the Bears aren't going to be good. Outside of those teams, I think we can agree on those teams, there's a lot of maybes. I mean, that's what I'm finding out here, even in the AFC, which I feel like we act like the AFC.
Especially.
Everybody's, well, it's like where everyone's a Super Bowl contender. It's like, well, they can't all be Super Bowl contenders. They can't even all make the postseason. This isn't how any of it works. And so the teams I think that are maybe a question mark there, do you believe in the Patriots? Could they be a team that ends up looking a lot worse than we expect? What about the New York Jets? Could they look a lot worse than you're expecting? I think maybe even the Steelers could be in that list, even though they're quarterback competition has looked pretty good on all fronts this preseason. The Browns with Jacoby Brissett, do you believe in him? Is he really the answer there in Cleveland? The Tennessee Titans, is their window over? So there are questions on teams and the AFC. And then if you move on to the NFC, the weaker conference, I mean, are you one who's bought in on the Detroit Lions? Because I think that they're still going to be pretty bad this season.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be playoff contenders, but
Are
they giving people hope in Detroit? I think they're giving people hope.
I feel like every team I just discussed has hope, right? Like outside of Chicago and Houston, it feels like every team has some semblance of hope where you could try to make an argument that team is going to exceed expectations. It can't all be true. I have a hard time making that argument for Atlanta. I have a hard time making that argument for Chicago.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time making that argument for Houston. And frankly, I wouldn't even make that argument for Washington, although I think, you know, there are some arguments to be made there.
Okay, but let's talk about some of these instances for a moment, okay? Mm-hmm. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Amber Wilson in for Chris Canty. We're brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And when I am going through and picking the teams, as I have been doing the last few days, that I want to try to play an over-under on, that I want to try to find where they may finish. One of the teams that I look at in the NFC, I'm jumping on the Bears to have the worst record in football. I think they're going to be absolutely awful. But other than that, like, let's go to the AFC for a second.
Mm-hmm.
There are questions, but like, we have a couple of teams in the AFC where they should be better considering the talent that they have, but the quarterback, you just don't know. The Jets, they have a lot more talent, but the quarterback, when is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be out there in week 3? And is he going to be better? I don't look at anybody else. You know, the Patriots, I personally don't think are going to be very good. I think the slide may begin this year.
What Patriot about the Jags? Can we agree on them?
Let's say that again.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. Like,
there's like optimism there, right? They got past the debacle of Urban Meyer. You know, Trevor Lawrence in year two. Etienne's healthy. What they did in the offseason with the free agent signings. Like the Jaguars, I think people in Jacksonville are kind of optimistic after what happened last year. Is there a team in the AFC West that anybody thinks is not going to be really good or pretty good?
No, I mean, it's unlikely that you're going to get all four into the postseason, right?
Sure.
But, you know, so I always have the Broncos finishing last in that division because I'm just not one who believes that they're only a quarterback away. But what does last in that division mean? I mean, I'm not saying at all that the Denver Broncos are going to look like I expect the Chicago Bears to look this season. So it's hard when you're talking about teams. There are teams that have question marks. But it's hard to find teams that you feel confident. It's easier to find teams that you feel confident are going to be great than confident are going to be terrible, which that feels unusual to me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For this NFL season, I feel like we're normally questioning who's going to be great, not who's going to be terrible. But this one's,
if you're going into like a survivor pool and pick a team a week, right? You're looking for those teams that are supposed to be awful right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And fading them just a bit.
It's true. And there's not that many of them. There's not that many of those teams that are supposed to be awful out of the gate. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, when I was trying to go through this and formulate arguments, now I don't think the Jags are going to be good. You know, now could they be better than they were last season? What did they win 3 games last season? I don't have it in front of me, but like the bar is very low for teams like that. So I still don't expect the Jags are going to be ready for a postseason run or anything of that nature, but could they be improved? And if they improve on that, Carlin, then is the narrative around them going to be that they were awful and had an awful season? Because I feel like all they have to do is win a few more games and we're going to be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is the future.
Oh, I think I don't think there's any question because they had the worst record in football last year. You know, they had the number one pick for a reason. But then you look at what they were able to do in this offseason and how Trevon Walker has looked so far. There's optimism there. There's going to be, mark my words, in the AFC, there's going to be a double-digit win team, if not two, that don't make the playoffs this year. Now, granted, part of that is because there are 17 games now as opposed to 16, mm-hmm. but I think we could have two 10-win teams not make the playoffs this season.
Don't let it be my darn Miami Dolphins again.
Well, it could be. I mean, listen, it could be, but they're one of the teams. You tell me how many of these teams are capable of winning 10 games when I throw them at you, okay?
Okay.
I think we agree the Bills are going to win 10 games.
Yeah.
The Dolphins, they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
They're very capable. The Ravens, definitely capable. The Steelers, maybe not. All right. So that let's say three. The Browns, are the Browns capable?
Jacoby Brissett under center for 11 games.
Final six with Watson.
That's not making me feel double digity. It's certainly possible. Okay. Obviously, it's a good Cleveland team outside of that position, but that position's a huge question mark unless they bring in Garoppolo.
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yes.
No Houston. Tennessee.
Yeah, you could. They could do it. You could see it.
Could you see the Colts winning?
Yes. With Matt Ryan, sure.
Is there anybody in the West, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs, or the Chargers that you couldn't see winning 10 games?
No, they could all win 10.
Yeah, this is the point. Like we're
now
right
we're
there.
We're at 10 teams.
Yeah, I mean that's absurd, but that's what we're looking at. And I mean by that rationale, there's going to be 3 teams that don't make the playoffs.
That would be nuts. I mean, we just can't be right about all of these teams. There's got to be something that we're missing. And listen, this story is
going to
change.
I'm sure there'll be injuries and such.
Right. And that's going to be the difference here. Like we're looking at this, looking through the lens of everybody's healthy. And we know that situation can change dramatically and it can look very different depending who goes down this season.
I'm just fascinated by the fact that there are so many teams in the league that have genuine, actual hope for this year that it could be a playoff team, let alone be a team that can really contend to win the whole thing. It's nuts to me, especially in that AFC. It's
can't I love the positivity. You know, yeah. We don't have enough positivity in 2022. Look at us, so positive about NFL teams.
Well, what I'm looking to do is tamp down that positivity. I'm looking to get rid of it. I'm looking to whitewash it. I've never been interested in positivity. It doesn't serve me well.
Stay tuned for more of that, for negativity here yes. on Canty and Carlin.
On ESPN Radio at ESPN Plus.
Check out Canty and Carlin weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who's stepping up and who's not? It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson is in for Canty on his honeymoon. Chris Carlin, hit us up on Twitter. Tweet the show at Chris Carlin, at Amber W Sports. By all means, we are on the ESPN app as well as ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Amber, let's do a little buy or sell. When it comes to quarterbacks who are very early in their career and where they are headed, and are we going to buy or sell? So, how are we going to swing this here, Evan Wilner? What do we got? Are we going to, you going to fire him at us, or am I just going to throw him out and we're going?
Tagovailoa had a, would you say, perfect passer rating on Saturday in preseason? We don't care about the preseason. We do care about
ratings. Hold on. We care about perfect passer ratings. Man, this is nonsense, Evan. I'm just going to jump. Okay, you guys settle down. The Dolphins fan here is just going to jump in and take this one away. Tua had a perfect passer rating, okay? It was still football, even if it was preseason football. I do think Tua is going to take a step forward, because how could you not, Carlin, take a step forward with all the upgrades they made around the quarterback position? The O-line should be improved with Armstead. He's got help in the backfield now. He has help in terms of the fastest receiving core in the country, and arguably now he's throwing the football to the best receiver in the entire league in Tyreek Hill. This defense was already elite. The offense needed to take a step forward. You're talking about a team that tried to put their quarterback in the best position to succeed. I'm not saying he's going to turn into Patrick Mahomes. He's not even going to turn into Justin Herbert. That ship has sailed. That's always going to follow him his entire career, because they could have drafted Herbert instead. But he is still going to take a step forward, Carlin.
Yeah, so I'm out.
Oh, come on.
It would have been a touchdown the other night, wouldn't it have been?
Oh,
the ball,
come
if Patrick
on, don't
Mahomes
do that.
Threw Tyreek Hill that ball, it would have been a touchdown.
Brutal.
And
brutal.
Listen,
perfect passer rating, people. Perfect.
I know. But Amber, it's the preseason. Come on. Let's see how it plays out. I don't know. I don't believe he'll be awful, but I don't believe he'll be good enough to elevate them. And that's where their answer is going to be at the end of the year. The answer is going to be, we need a new quarterback. I'm selling. I'm out. Adios. Goodbye.
I like that. Let's keep that pace going. Trey Lance, Carlin, buy or sell, takes a step forward.
I'm going to buy, but it's not going to take for a while. It's not going to be for a while. It's not going to be till mid-season. I think there's going to be some growing pains early. My biggest knock on Trey Lance is that he has not played a lot of football. Since 2018, he's played 24 games total and one full season. That's a problem. 25 games, I should say. Amber, I'm going to buy, but not until later.
17 plus 318 is 389. That's how many passes we have seen Trey Lance throw, period, in his entire football career, guys. We are talking about a quarterback who we saw throw 318 total passes in college. That was his entire collegiate career, and he's throwing 71 in the NFL. So yes, he's going to take a step forward because he's presumably going to be throwing passes and playing football. I've seen Trey Lance play so little of it that I feel like anything, frankly, is a step forward for Trey Lance. Him being out there, him starting under center is a step forward for Trey Lance. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I don't think that the bar has to be set very high, though. He has an incredible team around him. We know he's got an incredible coaching staff, and I think that him being out there and being competent at all will be a step forward.
All right, how about another quarterback from the 2021 draft class, Justin Fields? Buy or sell Justin Fields with that core, that offensive line takes a step forward, Amber?
I wanted to say yes. I am concerned with the injury. Oh, Justin Fields. I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead to Zach Wilson. You threw Justin Fields at me. You got crazy. I was looking at your screen.
Give me all the Zach Wilson. We can do Zach Wilson twice. Like, let's get all the Zach Wilson talk. Not Justin.
No. So Justin Fields. Yes. It seems like Justin Fields is primed here to take a little bit of a step. The problem is, unlike the situation with Tua, I don't think that they've set Justin Fields up for any semblance of success. So he is really up against it, having to prove himself in a really difficult situation. It's hard to buy into anything that's happening around him. To me, that's not even a knock on Fields. That's the situation he finds himself in. So I have a hard time believing it, even though in the preseason I have seen the hope. I understand why there could be hope.
I mean, thank you, counselor. That was your entire opening statement, for Pete's sake. I'm buying on Justin Fields. I'm in on Justin Fields. I love him. My only concern is this year, with the lack of talent around him, he may take a step forward, but we may not really truly be able to see it. But I believe in Justin
Fields. You're in on Justin Fields. You're out on Tua.
Yes.
All right. Ridiculous.
All right, Amber, I'll let you go first on this one, too, since you were so excited to tell me about how good Zach Wilson's going to be this year. Buy or sell, Zach
Wilson. I'm not so excited to tell you how good Zach Wilson's going to be. I have a hard time believing that he's going to take some massive step. I wanted to believe it. The injury obviously concerns me, but also he looked bad before that injury. And so I'm having a hard time, Carlin, buying into some big step here from Zach Wilson this season.
Yeah, before the injury, I would have bought in. Amber, I'm dumping this stock. I'm out. Sell. And look, I can't expect him at his size to be able to stay healthy long enough to take a major step forward. They've put more around him. I'm out. Sell.
It's going to be a long year. All right.
Those were like the three guys were at the last game last year, I think.
How about the guy that went one pick ahead of Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence? Buy or sell, Trevor Lawrence takes a step forward with Doug Peterson. Chris?
Big buy. Yeah, Doug Peterson will do wonders for Trevor Lawrence. He will help him a lot. And look, Trevor Lawrence was the guy that was thought of as a generational player for a reason. We are going to see that reason this season.
Big step forward or step forward? I'll buy. Big step forward, I'll sell. Trevor Lawrence was so bad last season. I mean, he had a really terrible rookie season. When you consider the expectations that he came into this league with, it's pretty remarkable when you look at what happened to him last season. I understand that's a terrible team around him. He wasn't put in a good situation. None of these number one picks, though, are put in good situations. I'm going to need to see a lot from Trevor Lawrence. I think he's got the right coach to get it out of him. But a big step, I mean, just considering where the starting point was, if we take into account what last season looked like, holding onto the ball way too long. He didn't do himself any favors either, even though he had a bad team around him. I'll say he'll take a step, a big step. It's hard for me to get there.
How about Mac Jones? A lot of talk in New England about, you know, trouble with the offense, the play calling. He did not look good against the Raiders. Mac Jones, buy or sell, he'll take a step forward, Amber.
I mean, he's definitely not taking a step forward. I think the question should be, is he going to take a step backward based on what's happened here in this preseason? I'm not going to put that all on Mac Jones' shoulders yet, but when we're talking about a quarterback who made a Pro Bowl in his rookie season, the expectations are incredibly high. And then one, of course, playing in that system. I think they did a lot of brilliant hiding of his deficiencies last season and put him in a position for success because of how good that coaching staff is. I do not believe, though, that Mac Jones is going to take a step forward. I think remaining stagnant, frankly, would be a win, though, for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's a sell for me. I'm out. You know, Mac Jones, I think, is an okay player. And he's got guys who are just guys around him. I don't see how he could possibly take a step forward this year. Their receivers are just not very good. And they lost Tyquan Thornton the other day to a broken clavicle. He's gone for what looks like 2 months. And he was the guy as a rookie that was giving you real hope. So for me, I am out.
Carlin was better
Jones.
At this game than me because he actually bought or sold. And I don't think I actually said that on any of these guys.
Eh, whatever. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN right. Radio and on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Much more on the Patriots' downfall and some other very underrated stories of the preseason that you need to be paying attention to. That is right after this.
Check out Canty and Carlin, weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Not convinced there is such a thing as a bad macaroni and cheese.
Well, apparently Keyshawn takes issue with breadcrumbs on top of the mac and cheese.
What?
I tend to agree with him. I actually, I'm not into that. The bread.
You don't like crunchiness on top?
I like the cheese itself to be crunchy and crispy. Like we could throw it under the broiler before you serve it to me, get it all nice and crispy. I don't need breadcrumbs as part of the equation. That's totally unnecessary.
I'm not going to say that it makes or breaks it. It certainly doesn't. It helps a little bit, but I could certainly, I can see it both ways, but I'm not ruling it out. You know, I'm not by any, basically you were, personally, acting with some sort of a bias, an anti-breadcrumb there, you and Key, which I don't get.
I guess, slightly anti-breadcrumb. There's not a lot of scenarios where I welcome the breadcrumb, although there's hardly any scenario where I don't welcome bread. So that is a peculiar thing that I just thought about
well,
myself.
Well, then maybe you need to welcome in bread staler cousin, the breadcrumb. That's what I would advise you to do, because he can be a delightful visitor every once in a while. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Amber Wilson in for Chris Canty on his honeymoon right now. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So there are some storylines in the NFL right now that I feel like have not gotten a whole lot of attention, and I want to bring them up so we can chew on them for a few minutes here. Number one, there are two teams that when, you know, we were talking earlier about the teams that are absolutely going to be horrible. These teams don't fit into that category. But are the Jets and the Washington Commanders ever going to be good again? And I mean legit good. Because the Jets can't get out of their own way when it comes to Zach Wilson. I don't know when he's playing. I don't know if he can play. It sounds like it might be week three. And they did an awful lot of good things to get better. But yet, because of that, you may not get a chance to find out. And Amber, how about this? I went through just a look at the futility under Dan Snyder this morning. The Washington Commanders, under Dan Snyder, have won 10 games or more three times in 22 years, and they've never won more than 10. So I should say 10 games, and that's it, three times. And they've got two playoff wins. Doesn't feel to me like these teams are ever going to get better, and I'm not convinced they're getting better this year. I think the Jets will, but I'm not convinced it's going to be pretty.
When it comes to the Commanders, it's hard to have any hope when Daniel Snyder still owns the team, right? And that extends so far beyond, frankly, even what we see with that roster, what happens on the field. It just feels like that whole organization is such a mess that how are they going to right that ship? I think we could even have a conversation about whether them trading for Carson Wentz at the point that they did was smart, or whether it would have behooved them to be much more patient with making that decision. And so I have a hard time buying into this Commanders team. Now, I guess the one caveat here is that I also had a hard time last season when everybody last offseason was so high on them in terms of their defense. Then their defense went on to wildly disappoint. Could they get back on track this season?
Chase Young for a while now, too, by the
way. Right. I mean, theoretically, they could get back on track this season. Theoretically, Carson Wentz could be 2017 Carson Wentz here in what seems like the final act of his starting career in the NFL. But it's hard for me to believe any of it and that any of it is going to happen while Daniel Snyder owns that team. So it just feels like a mess to me in Washington. The Jets feel a bit different. The Jets, it feels like they're just cursed, right? With the Zach Wilson injury, it's like, I don't know what the Jets did in a Pat's life, but goodness, must they have done something, I guess, because this was the season that I actually thought the Jets might kind of get on track here with Zach Wilson, and they've got Sauce Gardner, and they had a really good draft that a lot of people were so high on the Jets coming out of this draft with all of their picks in this draft this season, and it just went from that hope to womp, womp, womp here with this Zach Wilson injury and how they've looked so far in the preseason. It's hard to believe in this Jets team. And the worst thing is, though, I also don't think this Jets team is going to be like awful, awful, right? Which arguably that's the worst place to be.
Yeah.
Carlin.
Yeah, right in the middle. You hate being in the middle. Mm-hmm. Then there's New England, Amber. The Patriots, I think this is the time that we're really going to see them kind of fall off a cliff. You know, this to me could be a year where they go and win seven games, six games. And it's primarily because I was up there a week and a half ago, and granted, it's one practice, but everything I've seen, their receivers are not very good. I don't think their offense is very good at all. And I don't think their defense scares the daylights out of anybody. This feels to me like this is officially the end of the Patriot reign.
Well, it kind of felt like the end of the Patriot reign when Tom Brady left that franchise, right? Like, let's be real about where they've been.
We were still going to find out if it was Belichick or not, right?
Right. Well, and that ship felt like it sailed when Brady went and immediately won a Super Bowl. But listen, that doesn't mean that Belichick's still not one of the greatest coaches of all time. It can be both. It could be that Brady's that great, he can elevate another franchise, but also that Belichick is a heck of a coach. I think you saw it last season with the way that he utilized Mac Jones, frankly, because Mac Jones ain't Tom Brady, and yet he got that dude to a Pro Bowl in his rookie season. And I think a lot of that was the scheme and kind of hiding some of Mac Jones' deficiencies. So I think you still believe in the coaching staff. You have every reason to believe in the coaching staff, but I'm with you in terms of the pieces on this team. And this idea that they don't need an OC, you know, because Belichick's so much smarter than everybody else and he doesn't need to do it the traditional way. I don't buy into any of that garbage. I'm with you. I think the Patriots are going to look much worse this season. And frankly, they were okay last season, right? They won, what, 10 games last season? They were okay. But you're talking about a team that didn't knock my socks off last season either. I mean, they've been on the decline.
Three more stories that are flying under the radar right now, including another team whose window is closing. And is it just flat out over down south? We'll explain what we're talking about. Canty and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson is in for Chris Canty. I'm Chris Carlin. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Those three stories that are not being talked about nearly enough. Next on ESPN Radio.
Check out Canty and Carlin weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
There's a bit of a role reversal going on in baseball in New York right now. It is kind of crazy. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Amber Wilson in for Chris Canty. Over the weekend, the Mets had Old Timers Day. Everybody was flying high at Citi Field. They couldn't get enough of it. So many positive tweets about everything that the Mets are doing right and Steve Cohen and their owner. And meanwhile, the Yankees lost Aroldis Chapman to the DL. Why? Because he has some sort of infection from a tattoo that he got. Here's Aaron Boone not really wanting to tell you what happened.
Was he in the hospital?
He did not have to go to the hospital. He saw the doctor here. But, you know, we sent him home. Well, he was, what's today, Saturday? So he was here Thursday, and then Friday we kept him back. Yesterday we kept him back in the hotel. Today he's still at the hotel. They're treating him and addressing it. And, you know, antibiotics and things like that. I'm hoping that it's not something too serious.
Amber, an infection from getting a tattoo during the season. Like, that is something that you would have, that would have won you Mets bingo a couple of years ago. And now it feels like the entire world is turned here.
People question whether baseball is a sport, right? Like the haters when they're like, oh, if you can chew gum while you're playing the game, or if you can eat sunflower seeds in the outfield while you're playing the game, then it's not a real sport. If you can get a tattoo on your leg during the season, on his leg, Carlin, what is going on with that? Why would that be the time?
A guy that drives off his legs to try to throw it as hard as he can at 100 miles an hour.
Kind of important to be able to utilize your legs in any position you're playing on that field. It's remarkable that he would do this during the season. I know it's a long season, but they do have an off season. Like, why not just get the tat during the off season? And then also, this has to be tattoo care, right? I mean, do you have tattoos?
I don't.
So I don't either. So you and I are not experts on this. But no. I feel like this might be on Chapman. I'm not pointing fingers or launching accusations, but it feels like tattoo care after you get a tattoo is probably paramount to avoiding infection because it's open wounds on your leg.
I would think so.
And then you're sweating in them.
Did he go to a sketchy place in at 4 o'clock in the morning? Did his buddy Sal do it? Like, what exactly happened? That's what I want to know. I mean, I only came close once in the tattoo parlor, and I completely chickened out. So,
well, that doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah, not in the least would that surprise you. But during this season, come on, dude, smarten up. Cutdown day in the NFL tomorrow, the deadline, 4 p.m. Eastern time, where rosters have to get to 53, and yet there is one move that has not happened yet. We'll get to that in 2.5 minutes. It's Chris Carlin, Amber Wilson. Amber is in for Canty on Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. A few minutes ago, we got to the first couple of underrated storylines in the league. Amber, another underrated storyline in the NFL right now, the Tennessee Titans. It feels like it might be over for Tennessee. Has their window come to a close? When it comes to offseason moves, they weren't necessarily graded all that high. The idea that they traded away A.J. Brown and then just went and got Treylon Burks and hoped that he can be just as good from Arkansas, that's a question mark. Where is Derrick Henry right now with his health? He missed 9 games last year. He was great before he got hurt, but he missed 9 games. And then is Ryan Tannehill a guy that you're really capable of winning with? None of this about the Titans from this offseason to last year adds up to them continuing to progress forward. I think the window's closed.
I think the window's probably closed as well for what was, like you said, a very good Tennessee Titans team the last few years. I'm not a big Ryan Tannehill believer either. I watched it for so many years down in Miami, for 7 years down in Miami. We never knew if Ryan Tannehill was good when we were watching. He wasn't bad. I mean, he's not awful, right? He's not terrible, but he's like a game-managing type of quarterback. You have to have the right pieces around him. The problem is when you're relying on everybody to be playing at their A level and you're relying on everybody to be fully healthy in order for your quarterback to look like a very good quarterback, that's hugely problematic during a 17-game season, right? And so that's what caught up with them last season. And you saw the deficiencies when darn near everybody ended up being injured at points for that Tennessee Titans team. You saw what it looked like when A.J. Brown missed weeks on end for that team. And now he's going to not be there for the entire season. You're not going to have the help that you had surrounding Tannehill just because of those roster moves. And then I don't know where the health of Derrick Henry stands, but this team runs through him and it's on his back. And it's hard to believe in it because we know how running backs age in that league. I have a hard time with you. I have a hard time. It still could be like you and I could be wrong. I could see a scenario where we could be wrong, but man, it feels like that window is closed to me.
So many people have been so high on the New Orleans Saints this coming year, and I know why. That defense has got a chance to be really, really good. But Amber, on the offensive side, can I trust Jameis Winston yet? I don't know that. I've been befuddled by the idea that people automatically assume that Jameis Winston is at this point where it's finally all going to click. This is not 3 years into the career. This is not 5 years into the career. We are 7 years down the road by now. And usually you are what you are by that point. And while he could throw for 5,000 yards, we've seen him be capable of throwing for 30 interceptions too. If Michael Thomas is healthy coming back, I don't think the Saints can win with Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Yeah, and we've seen him throw for 30 touchdowns, fine, which is what everyone points
right,
to, right? When you throw out the 30 picks, like the picks don't matter. Also, you have to, if you have one, you have to have the other when it comes to Jameis. I know it looked good for the first six games of last season. He gets injured in the seventh game. It was six games. Like, if you take his entire career in Tampa, then why do you believe it's going to be so different in New Orleans? And well, would it have looked different, Carlin, if he had been out there for the entire season last season and hadn't suffered that injury? Now he's coming back from a major injury. And oh, by the way, Sean Payton is no longer the coach there, which everyone just seems to forget. Like they're not going to miss a beat there. And Dennis Allen's going to be the same guy. Even the last time we saw him be a head coach, it was really quite ugly. I'm with you. I do not understand why everyone is so high, other than Keyshawn, because Michael Thomas is his nephew. Outside of Keyshawn Johnson, I don't understand why everybody else is so high on this New Orleans Saints team. Even expecting him, by the way, at the receiver position to be the same dude that he was back in 2019 when he was, you know, an MVP level.
It's asking a lot. And then finally, what we alluded to earlier, the 49ers, as cut down day comes tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Jimmy Garoppolo is still on that team. Here's Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, today on Get Up.
That's right, because the base salary for all veterans is when they're on the roster on opening day. So basically, they have until next Saturday at 4 o'clock to make a decision if he's on the roster or not, because that's when his salary would be locked in for the year.
So they don't have to cut him right now, but the roster spot is what I'd be a little bit concerned about too. Like, at what point are you just going to move on and stop holding out hope that you can get a sixth round pick and some sucker to take a $20 million contract? We're never going to do it. Not going to happen.
I don't really understand the point of this at this point, because whatever you're getting in return for him at this point, is he so nominal? Like, just save yourself the $27 million.
And then you're going to have to work out the cap money too. Like, you're going to cut the guy.
Right, you're going to cut him. You need to cut him. You're going to save significant money. You can pay Bosa when you cut Jimmy G, which is the whole reason you're going to end up cutting him. You got to cut him. And you might as well cut him on 53 days so you can use that spot for somebody else.
It's maddening to me that this hasn't happened yet. And I have to get the feeling that they haven't necessarily tried to do right by Garoppolo either. There seem to be a lot of bad feelings there. You know, it just doesn't feel like there really is a whole lot of love on either side right now. I feel like if there was, this would have been resolved by now. But instead, we sit around and wait to see when and if and when, really, he gets cut.
Check out Canty and Carlin weekdays on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.